How powerful is Smaug? How much of a difference would he have made had he survived through to the War of the Ring? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. If you like theories, background history and lore about The Lord of the Rings, A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher, then this may be the channel for you. Welcome. In The Hobbit, Smaug is presented as Smaug the Great, the most powerful and formidable opponent in the scope of the story. Yes, having read Tolkien's wider stories, we can appreciate the powers in the wider world, the threat of the necromancer that Gandalf heads off to deal with, the Balrog or other Maiar that may have given him a run for his money, but within the scope of the story itself, there is no doubt Smaug has no equals. He single-handedly destroys an entire dwarf kingdom dug into their mountain stronghold, as well as the thriving town of Dale, and is remembered a couple of centuries later in awe and fear. None have dared even approach the mountain since, let alone challenge him, despite the obvious massive hoard of gold he is lying on and him being quiet for so long. Dale was abandoned. Lake Town was built in a lake to protect it from potential fiery dragon attacks. The desolation of Smaug was left desolate. No one was willing to challenge him. Even the indomitable King Thorin struggled to find people willing to go with him on the quest of Erebor. Perhaps his worth can also be seen by how he is remembered, the monikers he is given. Bilbo is clearly trying to flatter Smaug to his face when he calls him Smaug the chiefest and greatest of calamities, Lord Smaug the impenetrable, and Smaug the mighty. But out of his earshot, the dwarves call him Smaug the Dreadful, and Tolkien's introduction references Smaug the Magnificent. He was clearly thought of with awe by everyone. And yet, despite all this, Smaug was still felled by one arrow shot. In the movies, there's quite a backstory to this, with a series of special black arrows and a special bow, more a ballista, really, but in the book it was just one special black arrow aimed with precision at the weak spot in the hollow of Smaug's left breast. There was a hint of serendipity or magic to this, as the black arrow had been passed down from generation to generation, had never failed to hit its mark and had obviously always been recovered, and was thought to be forged by the true King Under the Mountain centuries earlier. Its final use would allow the new true King Under the Mountain to return. So although this may seem like a lucky shot, and Tolkien doesn't dwell on the mystical or fateful elements to what happened, it was not just luck, or even just a good archer with a good bow and some inside information on Smaug's weaknesses that felled the great dragon. It was fated to be, and shouldn't undermine our understanding of Smaug's strengths. And his strengths were many. He brags about it to Bilbo. "I kill where I wish, and none dare resist. I laid low the warriors of old, and their like is not in the world today. Then I was but young and tender. Now I am old and strong, 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 thief in the shadows," he gloated. "My armour is like tenfold shields. My teeth are swords, my claws spears. The shock of my tail a thunderbolt. My wings a hurricane, and my breath death. I am armoured above and below with iron scales and hard gems. No blade can pierce me." Smaug was bragging, but he was not wrong. We briefly see him in action above Lake Town later in the story, and no conventional weapons can harm him. Lake Town is burned and destroyed with a few fiery breaths and a lash of his tail. He had a weak spot. But if Bilbo hadn't spotted it, and the Thrush hadn't heard Bilbo tell the dwarves about it and then told Bard about it, and if Bard hadn't got that special arrow, nothing in Lake Town or the surrounding area would have been able to stop Smaug. He really was that impressive. And it's not as if Smaug is just a powerful, dumb animal. He is intelligent, able to read between the lines of what he learned from Bilbo to work out what was going on. The return of the dwarves, the involvement of Lake Town, and so on. His sense of smell was phenomenal. His sense in knowing that one cup was missing from his hoard, impressive. And his voice and eyes had hypnotic powers. How did he compare to the other impressive figures of the age? Well, we get an intriguing perspective from Unfinished Tales. In that, Gandalf talks about his reasons for supporting the quest of Erebor. Yes, he wanted to help the dwarves reclaim their homeland, but he had a bigger vision as well. He was thinking ahead to the inevitable final confrontation with Sauron and what his dark plans might be. I thought then, and I am sure now, that to attack Lorien and Rivendell as soon as he was strong enough was his original plan. It would have been a much better plan for him, and much worse for us. You may think that Rivendell was out of his reach, but I did not think so. The state of things in the north was very bad. The kingdom under the mountain and the strong men of Dale were no more. To resist any force that Sauron might send to regain the northern passes in the mountains and the old lands of Angmar, there were only the dwarves of the Iron Hills, and behind them lay a desolation and a dragon. The dragon Sauron might use with terrible effect. Often I said to myself, I must find some means of dealing with Smaug. So Gandalf thought that Smaug, supported by Sauron's orcs, could perhaps destroy Lothlorien and Rivendell, even though they were protected by the magic of Galadriel and Elrond respectively. We saw orcs attack Lothlorien repeatedly in the War of the Ring and fail repeatedly. Smaug would have been the difference. I'm sure fire from above would have been particularly effective against those wood-loving elves. And so Gandalf was very happy to support Thorin in his attempt to take on Smaug. Eliminating Smaug, getting the dwarves back to the Lonely Mountain, and leaving the humans in that part of the world free from fear of dragon attack would dramatically change the geopolitical situation in that part of Middle-earth. Put simply, Gandalf thought that Smaug being alive or dead would be the difference in the Northern War during the War of the Ring. But if Smaug were so powerful and strategically important, did Gandalf really think that Thorin and his small company could defeat Smaug by themselves? That seems unlikely. In fact, he said, "So it was that the quest of Erebor set out. I do not suppose that when it started, Thorin had any real hope of destroying Smaug. There was no hope. Yet it happened." Gandalf was instead relying not on the dwarves being more powerful than Smaug, they self-evidently were not, but that something would turn up. Or more accurately, he felt that if Bilbo went with them, they would succeed, and if he didn't, they would not. He was right, of course. Gandalf's ability to sense the future, even fuzzily, is crucial so often in these stories. So Smaug was the preeminent force in that part of Middle-earth. He may have been a notch down from the Maiar in terms of raw power, but it's clear that Sauron still treated Smaug differently to other people on his side, not as someone he could dominate and order to do something, but rather someone who shared his vision and could be trusted more like an actual ally. Smaug wasn't on Sauron's side, per se. They were more like natural allies. So less like the Nazgul and more like Shelob, for example. And Smaug was clearly also the preeminent dragon of his age, and the last great dragon. Gandalf tells Frodo later that now Smaug was gone, there were still dragons, but none so powerful. Before Smaug, however, there were many more dragons, and inarguably greater dragons. Perhaps I'll do a video on them sometime. We read of them in the Silmarillion. The first great dragon made by Morgoth was Glaurung, who had no wings but took on entire armies on his own, ruled as a dragon king, and his magic was great, wiping people's memories, weaving magical lies and deceits. He features heavily in the tragedy of the Children of Húrin. Then we have Ancalagon the Black, the great dragon of Morgoth. His flames were hotter than all others. He could fly, and when he fell to his ruin, he broke three mountains, such was his size. We don't have exact measurements for Smaug or any of those other dragons, but it does seem that Smaug was much smaller while still being pretty huge. Tolkien admitted that the famous picture he drew for the cover of The Hobbit makes Bilbo too big and Smaug too small, and in the text itself we're told that he was vast and his wings were immeasurable. He ate 6 ponies in one sitting, he said, which tells us how big his jaws and stomach were, at least. But even so, he seems much smaller than Ancalagon at his height. So, overall, how powerful was Smaug? He was less than his forebears, and not as great as certainly the strongest of the Maiar of his time, but was the last great dragon. And that makes him, by a long way, the most fearsome creature in that part of Middle-earth. Gandalf feared that, if he had a mind to, He could destroy Lothlorien and Rivendell, overcoming the magic of the Rings of Power held by Galadriel and Elrond. Sauron treated him as an ally, not a vassal, and the free peoples of Middle-earth didn't dare go near him. But he had a weakness. Yes, there was a physical weak spot there on his underbelly, but in truth his real weakness was his pride. He was clever enough to know that his underbelly was soft, and also clever enough to make for himself a new armour of precious stones pressed into his flesh over centuries lying on his hoard. But it was his pride that made him show this off to Bilbo. Flattered by Bilbo's grand words, stung by the accusation that he even had a weakness, he showed off. Bilbo saw the gap in the armour, Bard learned of it, and Smaug crashed to his death. Smaug was powerful, very, very powerful, but he is also a lesson in hubris. Pride comes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall, quite literally in Smaug's case. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos, there's a link to my playlist appearing now on the left of your screen. Or to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page appearing now on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.